What's going on, everybody? We're back at it again. You boys from the Long Island Gaming League podcast. How's everybody doing out there? Is everybody staying safe? Everybody staying healthy? Everybody taking care of themselves? We really hope everybody's doing well. We're back on it for another great episode that we have for you guys. But we don't want to, you know, make things last. Well, I mean, not last. We want to make them last, of course. But we don't want to make, you know, hold things back. So we're just going to jump right into it. Nick. What's going on? How you been, brother? What's going on?
Going on, brother. How are you doing today?
You know, it's actually raining like crazy outside. You would know that, but you know.
Yeah. Still recovering from the first dose of the vaccine, but hanging in there.
You are? You sure? You need anything? You need
a... sleep is probably what I need, but I'll get it eventually.
Can't help you there. Sorry.
Yeah. So today we have Wes from Skulls Inc. Wes, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you. It's awesome to be here.
It's a pleasure having you.
Yes, sir. It is a big pleasure to have you here. So, let's start things off. For those that don't know enough about you, please introduce yourself to our viewers. Let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name's Wes Bird. I'm the CEO of Skulls Incorporated, like these guys say. But what Skulls is a brand name in the esports space. We're kind of like, you know, Under Armour, Nike, Adidas, except we are exclusively in the esports and gaming market. We produce merchandise, you know, jerseys and jackets and hoodies and all the apparel. But also chairs like this one that I'm sitting in. Oh, wait, I'm not sitting in the right one.
That's okay.
I got an office full of chairs. You can see them over there.
Yeah.
That white one looks very nice.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I see that one in the back. I'm like, ooh, that looks nice and comfy.
Yeah.
It looks like I could sit in that and just game for hours on end.
Yeah, yeah. They're nice. We coming into the brand space, we definitely knew that we needed to only bring the best, and so our jerseys and our merchandise, and whether it's chairs, backpacks, or anything, is kind of premium quality because that's what we want to kind of be known by. And we've been having a lot of fun. Now, to give you a little bit of history, though, Skulls has been around since, well, even before then, but we founded as Skulls in 2001, so it's been 20 years as this group called Skulls, and we started out just like you guys, as gamers, and, you know, we held LAN parties and, you know, did competitions and leagues and all that stuff for many, many years, and, a couple of years ago, we just, you know, with all the professional experience we had in the group, myself included, with like e-commerce architecture and others in the design space, it was like, hey, why don't we join together and turn this cool game club name into a brand for the gaming space? And so we've been at it for about 2 years. And we've grown a lot and just starting to pick up some really good traction. And so it's exciting.
It sounds very exciting. It sounds very,
nice.
Very exciting.
Sounds very nice. So you guys specialize in esports merch. What are, you know, off of the top of your head, what teams do you guys work with as of right now?
We have several pro teams, most notably Oxygen Gaming and Wildcard Gaming, and we've got some Latin America teams we're working with in Surus in the North America market, and another team called Peak Gaming. Those are all Latin America. So we do, those are our kind of professional teams, but we also work a lot with colleges and high schools.
Okay.
So we are the official partner of High School Esports League. for merchandise. So, you know, we outfit a lot of high schools with esports merch. And, but yeah, our flagship pro teams that you know of are Oxygen and Wildcard right now.
Okay, very nice. And
Oxygen was just in Six Invitational in Paris, and that was really fun to watch.
I think they got,
what was it, 7th or 8th place this time. They were upset, but I was still, you know, cheering them on and really excited about it. They had 160,000 people watching one of their streams, and I was like, wow, that is awesome. So,
I mean, yeah, when you come to competitions, especially something that joins a name called France or Paris, whatever, big names, big towns, big cities, big countries, it's always going to bring a lot of traction. I've heard of Oxygen. I'm just trying to remember what games were they playing.
They have a really good team. They have is Rainbow Six. That's where they were playing.
I think that's what I've heard.
That's where I've heard them from.
Yeah,
but exactly. They also have like Heroes of the Storm. And a bunch of other. They got a decent Valorant team now.
They play CS:GO also.
I don't think they're in the CS:GO market yet.
Okay.
But yeah, they're doing really well.
There's always a time for CS:GO.
Yeah.
It'll never die. So yeah, there's always time for that.
Always a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you guys play. Call of Duty Zombies at all?
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Zombie World Championship?
World Championship.
Yes, the Zombie World Championship. You should check that out. It's in Vegas, and it's almost exactly a month from now, in June 25th through 27th, at the big esports arena there in Las Vegas. And it's like this big competition between the top 16 qualifiers of, zombies. And, you know, it's this big tournament and winner takes home, I think, I don't know if it's 30,000 in total prizes or 30,000 for the grand prize, but.
Either way, that's some good money for a zombies tournament.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I don't even know what you could really do a tournament with Call of Duty Zombies.
Yeah,
like that had never occurred to me. Like,
yeah, no, right? It's just kind of like, how does that work? But they turned it into this thing where, yeah, you can compete, and I'm not exactly sure how the point systems, if it's all about time and score and whatever, but they're killing it, and they have some big names in esports kind of supporting it. You should check it out. So we're doing their merchandise and selling. We did their jerseys and all of their merchandise, and we're gonna also we've partnered up with Koyo to do pins and coins and stuff. Hmm. And so we're gonna provide like these challenge coins as like trophies for the event. So yeah, that's gonna be super cool. Check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely
got it. Anything Call of Duty is going to bring in some serious, viewers or IH or anything like that. Just because it has Call of Duty in the name, especially zombies.
You don't even have to people say play the word zombies. All it has is the COD or Call of Duty. It's always going to bring. It's the franchise. It's just how it is. And would think not. Zombies does have a very big following, outside of the Battle Royale and the actual. Storyline and stuff like that and hardcore and all that. But zombies are for years. I think since the first zombie game came out, the zombie expansion, that it's the following has been huge. I mean, it's a little.
Yeah.
It's something that we never look at, never think about the way I
do. Yeah, it was definitely a unique addition to a regular shooter game. Just pretty much a continual. Wave endless game, just have fun with friends and try not to die to zombies.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
and now there's tournaments with it, so who knows what's next? Who knows? That might be the next biggest esport. Is just instead of regular Call of Duty like Warzone matches or regular Call of Duty Search and Destroy lobbies, there's competitive zombies. How that works, it'll probably score based or round based, who knows, but
probably both. Probably you get points per round and add it on to whatever points you make per round. It's gotta be.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a great job of promoting it, and they got, you know, these there's some streamers out there and YouTubers that have a ton of followers that do a lot of zombies, and one of them has 5 million subscribers on YouTube. It's just like grief. So it's a big deal, and all these guys are gonna show up in Vegas on the 25th, and we'll be there supplying all the awesome jerseys and gear for them to wear.
Very nice. I mean, that is that's huge. It's not a little thing. You know, it's not like something you say, yeah, good job. That's
huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Especially for a Call of Duty event. Just to be at a Call of Duty event is one thing, but having your brand, having your company pretty much supplying all the, you know, jerseys, all the pins, all the collection, all the like the collectible stuff, that's pretty insane. Yeah. I have to admit.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, and working with these pro teams, Oxygen and Wildcard, and we're constantly signing deals with other organizations like Challengers Rising is that's the League of Legends like amateur league, and they're sanctioned by Riot and all of the big pro teams like Wildcard and 100 Thieves and Evil Genius, and all those guys have like their, you kind of consider it like their B team, you know?
Yeah.
Amateur guys who are trying to make it to the pros, they're contenders, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just signed a deal with them to be their merch, you know, provider and supplier and sponsor. And so we got lots of other things coming that I can't divulge just yet, but
the secrecy, huh? The secrecy. All right.
It's always good to hear when a company that you like, in your case, it's always good for you to go out to like the interviews and say, you know, there is stuff coming down, but we can't say it. Although it's technically not fair to who's listening, but at the same time, it does.
It's like, I want to know.
No,
yeah. just tell me. But I won't tell anyone, I promise.
But it's a good thing, though. It's not like, yeah, let me tell you, this is going this. I can tell you what's going in the next 2-3 years. It's good. The way I see it, it's good for things like that to happen that you can't actually say right now. Because, I mean, it's always a sign of growth. It's always a sign of better things to come. I mean,
smart.
Yeah, the state of Georgia is one of the first states to adopt esports as a varsity sport. So it's been going for 2 years now. And then, you know, so you can get a school can become the state champions of, you know, League of Legends, and they have different championships for trophies for each of the different games. And I participated at the Georgia State Championship just like a week ago. And it was fun to go there, watch the kids kind of participate and, you know, compete to become the state champs, you know. And so that was cool. And also the state of Georgia just passed a curriculum at the Department of Education for an esports elective.
I'm moving to Georgia.
Interesting.
I'm moving to Georgia.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. So, yeah, Atlanta is a big hub for esports. And we have, you know, Skulls is also part of the Atlanta Esports Alliance alongside of, you know, Momocon and Skillshot and, you know, a bunch of other big names that, you know, Control Freak and, you know, other publications like, you know, DreamHack. And so it's like there's a big organization in Atlanta that is focused about esports businesses collaborating to grow the esports industry and to bring that industry to Atlanta, Georgia. And so, you know, a part of that is getting involved with education and getting involved with, you know, competition. And so there's been a lot of influence from, you know, big business, including the Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta, you know. So because of that, you have the Department of Education passing an esports curriculum for as a class that will be available as a real elective that will count towards your school credit towards your graduation, you know. So that's really exciting. We may be the very first state to do that. I'm not sure, but it definitely cutting edge, if not. So there might be schools picking that up this coming year, but it might take them, you know, another year after that for other schools to pick it up. But eventually, you know, kids will just be able to sign up in their, you know, as an elective to take their esports class. And that's super cool.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for majority schools around here in New York, especially out here on Long Island, to start to pick up the momentum, you know, because even my brother, for instance, my brother's a high schooler right now. He goes to, actually, I'm not going to disclose what high school he goes to for privacy reasons, but exactly. But his high school, I know him and I know a lot of his friends. They all, you know, post YouTube videos. They all stream. It's a whole big group of them, like 30 to 40 of them, like in his grade alone.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can only imagine how many. He's becoming a senior next year. Mm-hmm. So as a junior, he doesn't have any options when it comes to anything esports or anything right in the gaming industry. So I've been trying to contact, you know, the principal and, you know, the dean over there just to see something, or been kind of hinting towards it, but they haven't budged really at all.
Well, you should point them in the direction of NACEF, which, you know, NACEF.org. And it's free. That's the beauty. That's, you know, that's all you got to say to a lot of these schools is, hey, it's free.
Yeah.
NASEF.org. And that describes the programs. And this particular program is set up to support schools, educate kids, set up curriculums, help teachers, because most of the biggest problem with schools is, well, they have teachers who don't get it, they don't understand, but with the right resources like NACEF, they can give the teacher what they need. Here's a whole curriculum package, just bang. Now,
yeah.
And they're used to curriculum. That's what they do, you know, so that they're educators. And if I have this piece of paper that says, okay, day one, I should do this, and then they can read the curriculum and see the purpose behind it, how it's teaching the kids. And then they also offer like coaching resources. So, you know, maybe the school, if in order to have a team, you need a coach. Right. Well, and you got some sort of English teacher doesn't even know the name of the game, much less how to teach the kids how to play it in a competitive way. Right. Well, you can get coaching resources through NACEF, you know, to help kids get better at the game. And so, you know, there's a mountain of resources targeting right now toward the education space, and most of that's coming through NACEF. And you might even have a state affiliate. So the state of New York, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I know New Jersey has Garden State Esports.
Yeah, I heard New Jersey has that. I think also, I forget what other state, but there's another one on the East Coast that has one, if I remember correctly.
I really, this coming from a person that studied in Europe for a while. I went to junior high and high school in Europe, so it's a little bit different from here. I really think that the problem here is the United States has been the spear in a lot of things, but when it comes to esports, I think the United States is so behind the rest of the world that it's insane. Like, okay, you go to areas like Japan and the Koreas, esports is probably like their NFL.
Mm-hmm. No, say it is their NFL. I think it's Japan or China that has baseball, but
Japan does. Korea also has it too, yeah. Which is also up there. Like when there was no Major League Baseball here, a lot of the players went over there to play.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, I know StarCraft is big in Korea, and there's always an esports for that. Even card games, Magic the Gathering, Hearthstone, that's huge in the Asian continent. It's huge. It's definitely bigger than Europe, and it's definitely bigger than the U.S. by far.
But then again,
and it's
Europe was Asia was probably the first, like way before Europe started investing in all esports and all that, like. Korea and Japan used to, it's like yesterday's news to them. I just think, you know, I actually think South and Central America are ahead of the United States in terms of esports. You go see Brazil. Brazil is a massive, massive esports country. Massive. They have so many high-tier professional teams. And, you know, I come from a Counter-Strike background, and their teams, most of their teams are like on top 10s. On the A squads.
Just looking at this, guys, you might be surprised. I was taking a look at all the schools in New York that are registered with NACEF. There are 70 schools in the state of New York that are registered with the North American Scholastic Esports Federation.
Wow.
Hmm.
But then again, you don't even ever hear about anything. That's strange. It's like they're registered, but they probably don't even have anything incorporated into the school or into the scholastic year for it. It's just...
Yeah, there's probably, they're definitely different levels of participation.
Right. I mean, I know over here by us, there is a school, a high school, that does have a big esports team. You know, Nick Sachem.
Yeah,
they're very big. They play on the what is it, the East Coast Esports?
I think it's East Coast Esports or East Coast.
ECC.
I'm pretty sure it's East Coast. Yeah, yes. Yeah, that one.
Yes, right.
That that's what I was looking for. 100%.
Like, but no, I know they're pretty big. They have they don't forget they practice where we've gone. They practice at the Meta, right, Nick?
Yeah.
They have actually an outside place that they go to that they practice on their own. But that's probably the only high school, at least in Long Island, that I've heard of that has it. I mean, besides the high schools that we've worked with and that had something that when we went in that helped build, like, Bayshore and stuff like that. But it's like,
Imagine a gaming platform that allowed you entry to esport tournaments while saving you money on tournament entry fees. Long Island Gaming Elite is a world-class league that provides casual and pro gamers an opportunity to compete in fun and consistent ways thanks to our subsidized membership fees at just $9.99 a month. A membership also grants you access to our in-house bi-weekly tournament for a chance to win big money and great prizes. We offer cash prize pools with little to no tournament entry fees required, allowing you to compete in more tournaments and win more money. Our league does not just focus on gaming itself, but on the thrill of competition and bringing people here on the island. So whether you're looking for a cutthroat competition or just to hang out and network in a relaxed and entertaining environment, LIGL is the league to join and grow with. So sign up on our website today.
Long Island, which is huge, you don't hear anything outside of the colleges.
Because, I mean, we have college is a different story. A lot of these colleges have their esports programs developed. NYIT, for instance, they have competition teams. They have competitive. I want to say they have two different tiers of teams. I think they have an A team and a B team.
Don't forget.
And I always see them.
They're building a state of the art stadium just for esports.
Yeah. I know Hofstra, I think, has an esports team.
Malloy.
Five Towns, Malloy. A whole bunch of colleges have their esports programs. But
not high school.
People don't hear of it until they get into the college or they get into college. So by that time, it's already, I don't want to say too late, but they could have been ahead of the game if they knew about it in middle school or in high school, or at least have the option to learn.
Colleges know because they have to compete for the, you know, they have to sell themselves to a student who wants to come to that college, right? And so they know that there's a big draw in for esports. And if your school doesn't have an esports program, there is a literal drop off between your target audience, you know, so it's like your target customer base is reduced by like 30% if you don't have an esports program or something of that measure.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we need to get they know I have to get an esports program so that my base goes up 30%. You know, I can't lose the competition because they have it and I don't. So it's a business decision. Whereas a high school, you know, it's a government operation. They're more about, you know, teaching ones and zeros and A's and B's and
yep.
And they have government standards that they have to, you know, to go by.
Right.
And so, you know, they're less motivated unless maybe it's a private school.
Right.
Than anyone else. But once educators that are passionate about kids and educating kids, then and they see how you can use, you know, we like to say this, use gamings and esports as like a little, as a shiny object, you know, to lure in the kids.
Yep.
To
get them hooked.
Teach them stuff. And I was like, okay, well, you want to play video games? Come on in here, play video games. Now let me show you how to do, you know, this, you know, let's use this video game as a subject matter for an essay. You know, let's write it. Let's do this essay around this character in this game. You know, now the kids are interested. They're not writing an essay about some, you know,
some random,
you know,
book that they have to read, or
600 years ago, they don't know.
Yeah,
exactly.
They can, okay, well, I got to do this essay about this, my favorite game and this character in this game, and I get to talk about that. So it gets kids kind of, and those kinds of lessons, educators know that if you apply a way to educate kids in a way that is applicable to their, you know, desires and their, you know, what they're fans of and what they love, it sticks. you know, as a part of the education. They'll remember it, and they'll use that later in life. And so, you know, if once you can, there, you know, also in the state of Georgia, Georgia Tech has a research department. Laura Levy is a researcher in games and esports. You know, that she is, her job is to learn and to understand how and why games and esports are good or bad for the, you know, for kids, adults, whatever, and how that works. And so her research proves that, you know, kids who are, or any people who play games, that there's a trigger in your brain that kind of helps memory work. And then, and there's an interesting research paper that she has about, so whenever a person plays a game that is a puzzle, or, you know, kind of causes you to think and makes you kind of do things and solve problems, these problem solving skills that you learn in the game, you can actually, your brain can utilize those in your professional life, whatever that is, or in your personal life. And that this is proven to be true. Now, whereas if you were to, you know, you get better, you know, you're practice, your brain is practicing solving problems, and so you become a better problem solver. Whereas if you say you do like crossword puzzles or something, if you do crossword puzzles over and over and over and over again, well, you become really good at crossword puzzles. You get better at that thing, but that doesn't help your brain retain stuff that's useful to solve problems outside of that game or outside of that activity. So there's some really awesome research behind games. And as soon as, you know, as teachers are exposed to that kind of research, then they kind of, oh, okay, let me look at more of that. They start losing that mentality of, you know, games rot your brain and all that. And so the best way to do that is to kind of point them at NACEF, because NACEF has that mountain of research that, you know, the guys who started NACEF started it as a philanthropy. He dropped millions and millions of dollars in research and everything else to, and all that documentation is built in with proven research on all these topics. And so that's the kind of stuff that educators pay attention to. And so if you want a teacher to perk up and listen, you can't just argue at them that, hey, games don't rot your brain. They're going to want to see that research that proves it. And then they're going to want to see who did that research. Are they trying to twist the information to accomplish a goal? Or is the research from a real institute, and is that backed by whatever organizations and curriculum, you know, STEM certified and all this other stuff?
Yeah. You saying that last part just reminded me of every essay I had to write in high school, where I have to prove the source is a legitimate source and not just some random person that has nothing to do with the subject just typing on Wikipedia or typing on a blog, you know.
It's like the scientist has to prove to the last bit that, you know, whatever's given to him or whatever is told to him is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. It's the same thing. Yeah, the teachers need something physical, something that they can grab on, a piece of paper saying, yes, you know, it's like
yes, this is a legitimate source. Here's all the information.
Saying it is right, just that's enough for them. I mean, it's just it's understandable in a way. I mean, it's like we go back to the whole stigma about video games and living in your mama's basement, like they say. And it's, I mean, unfortunately, that for some reason, as much as us gamers and us streamers will fight for it, fight for the change, I don't even think it's ever going to change, just because of things like this. The teachers, why can't a teacher trust, you know,
I feel like it'll change, but not like within these, like within the next generation. I think it's going to change the generation after that.
Oh, big ships take a long time to turn, true, you know? Yeah. And so if, you know, when you're in a speedboat, you can, you know, you can make a quick turn, right, but in order to change, you know, to turn a whole education system or a whole generation of people's minds, it's going to take a while.
Years and upon years.
Yeah.
Upon and, research. And,
but one of the sheer fact of the matter is these kids that are in school that know this stuff in 10 years, 5 years, maybe teachers themselves, you know? And so, you know, that it, by just by the sheer fact of generations kind of, you know, and their knowledge and understanding of something taking that, it'll grow, you know? I think it's going to be great. But you're right. You guys are right. It's going to take some time. Yep. But the good news is we don't have to know all the research because, you know, we have other things to focus on. But what we can tell a teacher and say, hey, this research has proven that, you know, games don't rot your brain. They actually improve your brain. And they also can improve, you know, your mental health, depending, or can degrade your mental health, depending on how, what you're, you know, into. And that's another thing that is important to me is, you know, toxicity in gaming, it's an issue. And, you know, when we started doing LAN parties a long time ago, yep, we kind of set the rules and then, you know, to keep things family friendly because we all had kids. So we wanted to keep the language light. We wanted to not have, you know, it's not a big party where people are getting drunk and, you know, being stupid. It's you know, just come, let's come into a garage with a bunch of computers and shoot each other in the face, you know, and have fun doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what a LAN party is.
But try to keep it civil, you know, try to keep it
digitally. Well, digitally.
I mean, for some games, it's hard to keep it civil. If we're doing Call of Duty, it's going to be all hands on deck. You know, I'm about to start something.
There's worse.
But if you're playing a game that's like Minecraft and it's just like, okay, you burned my house down. Yeah. Like, there's nothing you can, you know.
Since we've all gone away from LAN parties and everybody's in their own houses and kids are on the line playing games, you've got 40-year-old dude in there playing with 12-year-olds, yes, and they're cussing them out, and then other kids are just treating each other poorly because, you know, 5 minutes from now, I'm never going to talk to that guy again. So I can just say whatever I want to say and do whatever I want to do. And so, you know, I don't have to worry about the, you know, this is, the kids are like, I don't have to worry about this guy punching me in the face because, you know, I just like, you know, cuss him out and go on about my way. And I've even literally heard kids, you know, tell other kids in game to go commit suicide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the big things that always happens in Call of Duty. Again, I bring up Call of Duty because that's, to me, one of the most toxic games in the world. Mm-hmm. First-person shooter-wise, if we want to go more survival-based, that is Rust.
Yeah.
That is another one that's very tough. I play them both, and I, firsthand, I can tell you, the slurs that I hear, the curses that I hear, the amount of kids that are on those games and are cursing the way I curse whenever I play those games, something's not right.
You're right.
Yeah. There's no reason why a 12-year-old should have a truck driver's, you know, tongue, you know?
But
yeah,
don't discriminate the truck drivers. But
I'm just saying, you know.
Regardless of all this, the worst game, and as much crazy sailors as it may seem, the worst and most toxic game is League of Legends.
Come on. I don't know.
That's where I disagree with you there.
I think
it comes to League of Legends versus Dota 2, that's when they're mainly toxic.
I just think it has to do with, like, the gameplay. For some reason, that type of game, it's like you're saying Dota, League of Legends, they're the same type of game, and it's just very toxic. I mean,
Bruno, listen. Just to combat this, just for a quick second. You and I have been on the recipient end of a hardcore Call of Duty match, right?
Yeah.
You know how you can team kill? You accidentally team kill someone, let's just say, right? Because this has happened to me hundreds of times, right?
I know what you're going
to
say.
They're running in front of me. I chuck my grenade across map. They just so happen to be there.
That's
the and they spawn back in and they just shoot me in the back of the head. Like, and then they're always and always on the mic. They're like, you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, sorry, you ran in front of me as I'm shooting the guy that's in front of you.
Right.
My bad. But it's like that's where the toxicity brings my blood to a boil. Like regular Call of Duty, my blood level's here. My hardcore, it's through the roof. It's like it's all the way, you know, up in the sky.
But it's like you say, it has to do with the gameplay. You're playing hardcore is one thing. That's not gonna happen if you're playing regular core. League of Legends, it doesn't matter what you play, that toxicity is there. And you could go see streamers play. You go see Ninja and stuff like that. It is toxic. I mean, especially talking about Ninja. Okay. Look at Ninja before League of Legends and Ninja after League.
And look at him after.
I mean, it seems like for some reason the game changes the way you act because you just become I think there's more big name people that you know that are toxic that play League of Legends compared to other games. I mean, everybody's toxic in Call of Duty, yeah, but you're dead, you're done. You know, I don't hear your voice. You're done. There's no more. It's squashed right there. For some reason, just League of Legends just keeps on going and going and going and going. I don't know why. I don't
because the games are longer. The games are like up to an hour. Like the matches are up to like half an hour to an hour long. Where in Call of Duty, you're in there for 5 minutes maybe if it's team deathmatch. Like 3 minutes maybe if it's team deathmatch. If it's search and destroy,
right?
You're in there until the game ends. But
yeah, I don't play the game, but it's just like I see it and I see the comments and I hear what people say and it's just like. Why it doesn't it's like Call of Duty would justify it more or maybe a sports game like NBA 2K or NFL, which is a game. It's like a game. You're going to cuss each other out. It's just sports. It's normal. You play soccer outside and you're gonna call names to each other. You're gonna call names to the ref. It's just how it is. Dota and League of Legends for some reason doesn't compute to me why you have to be so toxic.
Imagine a gaming platform that allowed you entry to esport tournaments while saving you money on tournament entry fees. Long Island Gaming Elite is a world-class league that provides casual and pro gamers an opportunity to compete in fun and consistent ways thanks to our subsidized membership fees at just $9.99 a month. A membership also grants you access to our in-house bi-weekly tournaments for a chance to win big money and great prizes. We offer cash prize pools with little to no tournament entry fees required, allowing you to compete in more tournaments and win more money. League does not just focus on gaming itself, but on the thrill of competition and bringing people here on the island. So whether you're looking for a cutthroat competition or just to hang out and network in a relaxed and entertaining environment, LIGL is the league to join and grow with. So sign up on our website today.
I'll say that one of the issues to me is okay, if you're a kid or even, you know, if you're on a field, a soccer field, you were talking about soccer or so, you know, if you're on a field playing a game, yeah, you might smack talk the opposing team or you might fuss at a ref, but in the end, your coach and your staff and your other teammates might tell you to cool it or, you know, hey let's be good sports. You're taught, okay, at the end of the game, I don't care how many elbows you threw in the game, when the game's over, you go over there and you shake their hand, you give them high fives and say good game, and you go on about your business. And you know, there's a level of respect that's taught, that you have a mentor and a leader that kind of drives that agenda. And it's been missing in video games, exactly. Right? You don't have those team leaders and mentors saying, all right, team, let's work together. Let's all right, high five, you know, GG. Now there's getting more prominent trying to, okay, let's be good. Good game. But
you don't have a Mr. Miyagi when it comes to gaming, unfortunately.
Yeah. But that doesn't have to be that way. If we recognize, all of us in this room obviously recognize that there's a problem. So
yeah, absolutely.
Instead of sitting here and like talking about the problem, what can we do to fix the problem? We can't fix the problem. We can't just wave a magic wand and change everyone's bad attitude, unfortunately.
Fixeth your attitudeth.
It don't work. Does not work, yes. It's true.
You know, I think there's two things. One, me and you and us on this call, right? We turn into the people that we want to be, we wish that there were. Be that mentor, be that teammate, be that guy who's like, all right, let's do this right thing. And, you know, calling people out, hey man, you know, that's uncalled for, chill. And then, you know, stand up for what's right. And then second is for business, do the same thing, right? So if big business, like big brands like Nike and Skulls, you know, are like, you know,
self-plug.
if those kinds of big business throw dollars in on streamers because they've got a million followers, just because what they care about is their reach that they're getting through that will perpetuate the problem. Right. Because they're rewarding poor behavior, right, and then they're throwing gas on the fuel and causing more of the problem. Whereas as soon as, doesn't take but maybe, you know, very many times for a sponsor to go to that guy and say, oh, sorry, I'm not going to drop $100,000 on you because you're not the kind of person that we need to represent our brand.
Right.
That will change his tune. Say, maybe I need to change my attitude so that I can make more money.
True.
Because ultimately that's going to be the driver that changes the upper echelons of those people who have millions of followings. If they can turn a million followers into $1 million, if they just clean their mouth up and be cool to represent a brand, well, then they will, you know?
Yeah.
But if they can make a million, if a brand's going to toss $1 million at them, no matter what comes out of their mouth or what they do, then they will. Totally. They just will.
I want to say a prime example of that is Raid Shadow Legends. I see them sponsoring every single streamer, every single YouTuber,
yes,
no matter what content they put out. And just, you know, most of them, most of the YouTubers that they sponsor, they're funnier YouTubers because their comedy revolves around something that happens in the game.
Right.
And then they have a bad reaction to something that happens in the game. Like they just get pissed or anything along those lines, like a funny moment or anything like that.
Yeah.
But in reality, it might not be the best outcome to a certain situation, you know, especially if they like hear someone trash talking them. For the most part, these streamers are better in terms of if someone, like, let's just say they're playing Warzone. Prime example, Tim the Tatman, Nick Mercs. They hear someone, they shoot them, down them, they kill them, and the hot mic is on. They just hear them like bantering. They just kind of move on with their day. They don't really talk back. They just move on. That's a good example.
Yeah.
YouTubers, some of them, I think Smitty has one bad example of like, he's like, bro, like you're actual trash. Like you literally just fell to your death pretty much. If I had the clip, I might be able to show it, but I don't have it on hand. But some YouTubers do have that bad example, which then is like, that just triggers some they're following. They're like, oh, maybe I could do this too, and then it's funny, haha, funny moment, but in reality it's just not called for.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, being so that one brand that you just called out, that's what we need to do as a community of people in this world that wants to fix the problem. Let that company who's feeding the fire get a bad reputation and their numbers start suffering for it. Right. It's all about the money. I hate to say it.
No, it really is. Because at the end all be all, everybody wants to have some cash in their pocket. Everybody's in it for money. Major corporations, even smaller streamers, they're in it just, A lot of them are in it for the fun, but they're really like, if this fun can become my revenue source, my money source, then they stick to that, which is a lot. Is a lot of these streamers become popular and stuff like that.
Yep. If you care about toxicity in gaming and you want to help solve the problem, then don't subscribe to streamers. Don't, you know, that are toxic and fools, and don't subscribe to, you know, don't pay, do pay subscriptions for sure, and don't buy their merch, you know, it, because where you put your money is where you're gonna, you know, reap the reward. So do you want to be a part of the problem, or do you want to be a part of the
part solution? Of the solution?
So just, and it takes a conscious effort. Okay, today I'm going to be a part of the solution. How do I do that? And just simple choices. And, you know, call out that sponsor. Man, I can't believe that sponsor is sponsoring that. Or call out that dude. Hey, man, that's uncalled for. You should, you know, you shouldn't do that. Or, you know, so that the little things like that, it takes a lot of people to get on board with that concept. Are you a part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? If you recognize a problem, then don't be a part of it.
Yeah, you know? That's true. It's totally true.
100% true.
I mean, I hate calling out people sometimes.
I know. Some people don't like to do that, and it's okay. And if you're kind of not like that guy who wants confrontation, and I don't like it either. I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, you know, just be quiet.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there are people that need to be called out. I mean, I personally, I follow a lot of people on. I started streaming about a year and change ago, and before that, I was following people, big names. I mean, listen, I'm gonna call them out. You got guys, and like, I'm gonna bring it up again. Guys like Ninja, which in this case has a big sponsorship, sponsored by Adidas, has all his merch through Adidas. You have other guys that I follow and that inspired me to start streaming, guys like Dr. Lupo, guys like the forbidden name, Dr. Disrespect and stuff like
that. I was about to say, we've talked about Dr. Disrespect so many times, and where this is being posted on YouTube and Spotify, Twitch can't do anything about it. So
hey,
we're okay.
Sue me. But the truth being said is these are players. Okay, not so much Dr. Lupo, but Dr. Disrespect, his name says everything. He made his name on being disrespectful towards other people.
Mm-hmm. Even to his followers, too, sometimes. Like, if they donate to him on stream, it's like, and they have, like, a text blurb that comes up here. Yeah. It's just like, let's just say, like, you know, let's just say some kid donates to him and is like, this is my lunch money for the day or something like that. He come up with something like, oh, you still get money from your mom? Like, what are you, like 12?
Like, yeah, no, it's true.
Like, I mean, that's something he would say, but that's his brand that he created. He created a funny, toxic brand, pretty much.
It's very toxic. But it's like we're saying, it's like they have millions of followers. They have names behind them so much. Like, for example, Ninja has now Adidas that makes his merch. Dr. Disrespect has companies like, what's the company that he uses for his peripherals? Rokat, I think it is. He's another one of the streamers that's backed up by Mountain Dew, with Game Fuel and stuff like that. They are piling money towards these people that made names for being disrespectful, for being toxic. And unfortunately, they keep on being toxic, and the money Steve Keel's pouring in.
Yeah.
While, and like Nick was talking about the game before, while these companies keep on showering money on these people, and they keep on being toxic, and the money keeps pouring in, as much as the rest of us are going to do, I mean, it can subside a little bit, but I don't think it'll ever stop just because these companies keep on giving money to these people for doing these things. And I don't want to disrespect them because, you know, I follow them and I love their content, and It's fun to see what they do, but at the end of the day, it's that whole, they feed the fire, like you were saying. They're throwing more wood drenched in gasoline into a fire that just keeps on being bigger and bigger and bigger.
If we know that kids that are 12-year-olds or have mouths like sailors and are trying to act like Dr. Disrespect, and we know that that's wrong.
Yes.
Then, you know, if Dr. Disrespect is an example of a problem, then if he's got a sponsor that's a keyboard sponsor, mm-hmm. and I want to do something about the problem, I buy a different keyboard.
True.
You know, I say, nope, I'm not going to support that brand because that brand is part of the problem. You know, you have 2 million people doing this. That's when it starts waking the brands up and saying, ooh, if I have a consumer who's like, hey, I want to support a brand. Here's a brand that's contributing and supporting like Make-A-Wish and, Special Olympics. You know, that type of stuff. And here's a brand that's supporting, you know, being disrespectful and hateful, and they're trying to make money off of that genre.
Right.
Which one do I support? Which one do I buy from? And, you know, the consumers can make that kind of choice.
Yeah. And I definitely think the best way to put those two groups together, one being Jacksepticeye or Markiplier, the other one being Dr. Disrespect. Two complete polar opposites,
yes,
in the gaming industry. Jacksepticeye being the Irish sweetheart that everybody loves. I don't think there's anybody that could hate Jacksepticeye because he's the nicest streamer I've ever known in my life.
Yeah.
And there's Dr. Disrespect. Well, he always promotes, you know, Jack always promotes, you know, positivity, being confident. That whole thing. And then there's Dr. Disrespect. Not to bash on him. I love Dr. Disrespect. He's a funny guy. But when it comes to his community, it's very toxic. You know, yeah. Promotes negativity, promotes pretty much cyberbullying, which is, you know, yeah. Kind of the whole, you know, big title that all this falls under, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, okay, I brought up, for example, Dr. Lupa, and it wasn't a good example in a way because he's a streamer, although he can, when it gets pushed, he does become a little toxic, but like I've said in other podcasts, he's probably one of the only streamers that I've seen that donates all his money that he makes on a stream towards St. Jude.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this for a very long time. He basically just lives on the revenue from Gillette and stuff like that, which the guy drives, I don't know how many, him and his wife have Teslas and he has a beautiful house and all that stuff, but he does donate towards St. Jude, which I do respect a lot, being what it is and what they help. But it's like, you know, yeah, Dr. Disrespect and stuff like that. They do sometimes when they do big events, they'll do an event that's a charity for this or charity for that. But they feed, like we were saying, they feed that fire, the bullying, like you say, it's a big problem, and that's where these kids get it from, is from these big streamers. Just like Dr. Disrespect promotes it, like he'll kill somebody, and like you're saying, the
you have like the trash.
You know, like, go back to your mama's basement or your garbage or this like that. I mean,
there's some stuff that you smack talking can be friendly,
yes,
in a friendly match between friends.
Right.
But if you're a 40-year-old man and you're smack talking a 12-year-old little girl that you don't even know that that's what it is, right, then there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
In many ways, that the ramifications of that is just, ooh,
yeah.
It's that actually
sketchy. It's troubling on all fronts.
That falls not just under the bullying, like Nick says, but it's actually falls under something that us as a gaming league are actually working towards doing in July. Nick probably knows what I'm talking about. We're trying to make, and I want to pull that up because it's something that we want to promote a lot. We're trying to make a panel to promote you know, mental health in esports players. Like last year and a half to 2 years that we lost a lot of streamers due to suicide because of mental health and stuff like that. It's that toxicity actually feeds into that pushes certain streamers and certain players to that point of breaking that they do that.
Absolutely.
And it's, I think it's something that hasn't been, yeah, the toxicity has been spoken about, and the bullying, people have been banned from Twitch and stuff like that because of bullying and a certain level of toxicity, but the mental health aspect of it, it could affect you. Like you could talk smack to me right now and I'll get pissed off, and you know, it might go away visually, but mentally there are people that, everybody's different, everybody has their level of tolerance. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately there are people that, you know, it does affect them to that point that it might, you know,
Imagine a gaming platform that allowed you entry to esport tournaments while saving you money on tournament entry fees. Long Island Gaming Elite is a world-class league that provides casual and pro gamers an opportunity to compete in fun and consistent ways thanks to our subsidized membership fees at just $9.99 a month. A membership also grants you access to our in-house bi-weekly tournaments for a chance to win big money and great prizes. We offer cash prize pools with little to no tournament entry fees required, allowing you to compete in more tournaments and win more money. Our league does not just focus on gaming itself, but on the thrill of competition and bringing people here on the island. So whether you're looking for a cutthroat competition or just to hang out and network in a relaxed and entertaining environment, LIGL is the league to join and grow with. So sign up on our website today.
They can break, and I think it's not, that's another aspect of the whole toxicity that it's not spoken too much about, or it's not put out in the public so much. I think it almost seems like, you know, it happened, we'll talk about it for a day or two, and then it just gets, you know, thrown under the rug until the next one happens, instead of trying to work towards you know, fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, it sounds like we definitely are, you know, this is an awesome conversation. And, you know, like you said, no magic wand's going to fix anything.
Yeah.
But if we can identify a problem and we can identify a way for each of us, three of us here and anyone watching or listening, to say, what can I do to be a part of the problem or to be a part of the solution? And if we all kind of lean toward being a part of the solution, nobody's perfect. Maybe we slip and, yeah, you know, get angry. But, you know, let's consciously each day decide, I want to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And then it intrinsically over time will start leaning in that direction. You know, it's a big ship. It's going to take a long time to turn. But, you know, if we're all, you know, we, in order for it to turn, we've all got to be paddling on the same side.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I mean, that's when the boat starts going in circles instead of going forward. That's how it is. Everybody paddles their own way, just circles, circles, yeah, circles, and we go nowhere. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I think it should be. It's not so much, shouldn't be talked so much as it actually, you know, more people doing more action towards fixing it. You know, it's fun to talk about it, and, you know, it's like, I see the three of us here that want to do something to fix it. A lot of people just talk about it in a way of, let me just talk about it. It looks nice for me to talk about it. You know, it, right. it looks good for my numbers. It looks good for my viewership.
It looks good for my numbers. Looks good for my, you know, my revenue coming. It looks good for sponsorships. It looks good for as a business output.
You mentioned a minute ago about, you know, okay, well, this guy, he's like, wait, but he donates money to St. Jude. Yeah, I mean, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
True. That's the best phrase. Yes, yes. Yeah. Hands down. It's true.
I mean, he's trying to, you know, but anyway, I don't know these people, so I can't, you know, say one way or another. But you recognize them through their fruit, you know. So what is the fruit of their labor? Is the fruit of their labor people that are, you know, toxic? Or is the fruit of their labor people that are, you know, healthy and friendly and kind? And so, you know, we want to, you know, support people that we can see, you know, because the fruit of someone's labor who is one way and then tries to paint a picture, you know, put on some lipstick and do something nice.
Right.
But then the fruit of their labor is still producing this thing that is not good. And, you know, that's kind of how you can designate, okay, you know, are you on this line of the problem or the solution? And so, you know, there's plenty of entertainers out there that are funny, that are awesome, and that aren't, you know, that you can look at and kind of say, okay, the fruit of their labor is leaning toward the solution. So support that.
True. I almost think it's like a stand-up comedy. Like, you go to a comedy show, you pay for a ticket, you go have a nice meal with your wife or with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend, whichever way you go, there's no discrimination. But it's like, you're sitting there, you're going to go see a show, you pay top price to be front seat. You're right by the stage, you got this guy or this woman or this group of people that are doing stand-up comedy. But you get picked out to be made fun of for the joke. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, you're giving money to feed towards something. Yeah, everybody's going to laugh, but at the end of the day, you know there's going to be somebody that's going to be thinking about it.
It's going to take it seriously.
Exactly. It's going to be burned in their memory. Says, wow, this guy made fun of me being overweight or me using glasses or something that I said. Or I think that's the perfect example that just came to my mind was a stand-up comedy. It's like you pay to go see somebody make fun of you.
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, more the overthinking aspect is what you're more mentioning, because, you know, people say one thing, they keep it in their head, they overthink it, like, what if this guy's true? What if he say, what if they're saying, you know, me being, you know, 6'1", you know, so-and-so pounds, you know, what if I'm really overweight? What if I'm too tall? What if my glasses aren't right? What if my hair is not looking good? My shirt's weird. What if I don't dress right? That whole thing just keeps spiraling in someone's head and just keeps going.
Yeah, now we're getting into the psychology of things, which is a whole nother ball of wax, you know. We can certainly encourage, you know, people to, you know, to, I was talking to my daughter, she's 13, and, you know, at that age where she's impressionable and, you know, conscious, self-conscious, and those kinds of things really hurt to young ladies at that age, if they're didn't like my hair or they made fun of my tooth or whatever, you know, it really, you know, hurts them. But, you know, she's talking about this one streamer who, you know, who's trying to be a part of the solution, you know. The streamer's like, you know, this bully said something to me and it really hurt my, you know, really, I just can't get that out of my head. And then the other guy was like, well, but why do you care?
Exactly.
You know, why do you care? And he was like, I don't know. Why do I care?
Yeah, that's true.
And so try to teach my daughter, hey, you know, people are going to be mean. People can say things. but it doesn't mean anything. And you can either internalize those things and make, you know, it's you who can decide, you know, it's about all about choices. Right. You have a choice to be offended or to be hurt. Or you can make a conscious effort and make a conscious choice to say, you know what? Why do I care about what that person said? I don't. I'm just going to decide not to care. And then going about the business, you know. But, or, you know, it's all about, you know, whenever I was growing up, I used to kind of have a hot head and I would get angry and, you know, kind of, you know, I guess, it was, you know, sports and, you know, basketball and, you know, I could be that way too. But there was a point in my life whenever I realized, you know what, I have a choice. I'm going to choose to not let that be, you know, get me angry. And so, and that realization that I had a choice and that I could make a conscious choice to be offended or not was life changing. You know, it changed my life. I was like, okay, well, you know what? You can say something to me, but it's really my choice to be offended or not. Yeah. So no matter what my upbringing is or my past was, I can see through all the mist and all of the hatefulness or whatever, or where that comes from, and just say, you know what? That I'm just going to choose not to be offended, and then have a conversation. You know, well, why do you feel that way? You know, you somebody said, you're a hat stupid. Okay. Which way do you like a hat? That's cool. You like your hat, you know, you like one of those bendy hats. I like to wear my hat kind of flat, you know?
Yeah.
You might think that's stupid, but I like to wear it that way. I'm an old man. I'm not trying to look like I'm a hip kid or anything. It's just the way I like to wear my hat. You know, I mean, some people can to pick the stupidest and the smallest things and try and insult you.
Yes.
And but you can choose. I choose not to be insulted. And whenever you make that choice, then you can respond in a way that's calm. And it usually kind of shocks the other person whenever they can't offend you, and then they calm down. You can bring their attitudes down, and then you can have a conversation.
So. Right. Yeah. I want to say I saw this one thing scrolling through on Instagram, being that you just said what you said. I want to say said something along the lines of, nobody's going to hate me more than I hate myself, or no one's going to be more of a critic to myself than myself. Sure. So why should your words, you know, have anything to do with my life? Why should I contemplate what you say? Like, why should I let your words judge the way I do what I want to do, or the way I live my life? So something along those lines. I think I saw it on Instagram or TikTok or something like that. I'm just going with it. I'm like, huh, yeah.
It is true, though. Like you were saying before, Wes, regarding the whole, if you speak calmly. I did, actually, I think a while back, I stumbled upon a video on Facebook. I actually think it was some kind of a workshop or something like that that had to do with bullying, I think. And there was the situation, like the speaker brought somebody, a random person from the crowd, and like telling her, like, talk bad to me, treat me bad. And he was showing both ways of the coin. It's like, okay, this is what happens if I give importance to what she's saying, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then on the flip side, he was like, now I'm going to show you what you're supposed to do. And he basically just, you know, flipped the coin, and it got to the point that the other person was like without words, not to know how am I going to insult you more, because it got to the point that, like, she said something, and he told her, oh, no, oh, okay, I understand that, but you're very beautiful. And she ended up saying, you know, thank you, and just walked away and went back into the crowd. It's like, it's that whole thing. Yeah. If you
like that nose on your face is like the stupidest nose in the world. You're like, oh, well, yeah, you're probably right, but I like your nose. It's pretty, it's nice and straight. You know, and whenever you right. take a take an insult and then you respond. So you
just hit him back with kindness.
You respond with like a compliment.
Right.
It just diffuses the whole, you know.
Exactly.
The more insulting they get, the more complimentary you get. It's just like just diffuses their argument. They can't.
Yeah, I think I would even say that it makes them like rethink. You know, like why did I even just say that? Like they're so nice. They're like they're a nice person.
It's
like
the switch.
Why did I even say that to begin with? It's like exactly. It's like the flip. It's like the switch flipped inside their heads. Like oh,
off.
Yep. I messed up.
No, it's true, let me
be like oh my bad.
I think the problem is, in like in that case, in that situation, it's in a controlled environment. Like, you know, on a daily basis, you have the normal stresses of the everyday: work, driving, family, money, whatever it is. And unfortunately, those things tend to feed into the side that you don't want to be. You want to be on the side that you're able to respond calmly, and it's an outside influence that actually pushes you to take it the way you're not supposed to. It's just. You know, in a perfect world, we would be able to, oh, okay, yeah, but, you know, you look nice, or I like the way you dress, you know. Unfortunately, sometimes life doesn't let us go that way. But
We get it. We can get stuff under skin, you know, mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
It definitely is hard. Having that mindset, like, okay, stay positive.
Yeah.
Keep your calm. Yes. And then that one thing that always, always triggers you, just always gets under your skin. Someone just says is like that whole mentality is just gone. It's just,
it's hard.
I'm gonna be, you know, as mean as I could possibly be to this person.
That happened to me the other day, unfortunately. It's stupidly. Fantasy football. I'm big into fantasy football. And I'm a part of a group chat of guys, and there's one thing in the world that, for whichever way my state of mind is, it just flips a switch in me. And it's been for years. Which is, there's a certain movie that makes fun of my certain name. You're laughing because you know what movie I'm talking about, probably. So, and I technically, when that movie came out, I was still in school, so I was kind of, Nick, you're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what movie is this?
You're probably a little too young. There was a movie by Sacha Baron Cohen called Bruno that came out probably about like 15 years ago. After he did the original Borat, he came out with that movie. Which
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Okay, don't see it. But whatever. So when that movie came out, kind of, you know, my name being Bruno, it was people around me, although they're my friends, playing around, but it affected me the way that they were, you know, making fun of me because the movie basically, you know, what it is. I don't want to go into details, but whatever. And the other day, for some reason,
I want to relive the horror story.
I don't know what the hell happened when we were talking about something in fantasy, a trade or something stupid, or I said something. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, this guy pulls out from all the stuff that you can make fun of me, you put a gif of, it's the poster for the Bruno movie. My instant reaction was toxic. You this, why would you do that? You this, you're this, you're this, blah, 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 blah. It's, and then, you know, after the other guys were like, you know, that actually kind of wasn't called for, that kind of reaction. It's just a poster, you know. The guy doesn't know this and that. And then, you know, it got to that point of like, you know what, my reaction wasn't the best. I'm sorry. And then I went down the line of it, but I said, you know, I'm sorry. But it's that thing. There are those triggers that I can see. That one for me is automatic. Oh, that, it's like I go blind. Just,
yeah. Hey, you know, that we might have triggers that are really hard to overcome. And, you know, what helps, I think, is on the being on the other end is, you know, having empathy and understanding, you know, there's a lot of study and research around this too, and people, right? Like, you look at this picture of this person, you know, and that person's like, you know, well, standing there all just, you know, red faced and, you know, what do you think? Well, you think, well, that person's mean or just mad or hot-headed, or that's a, you know, but then now they're saying, and then they say, okay, now understand that this person was just fired from their job and, you know, totaled their car. now look at the picture. And it changes, you know, it changes the way you perceive a person, you know. And so when someone is, you know, blasting at you or is being, you know, just goes off like Bruno did whenever he saw that picture.
Jesus Christ. Yes.
If those people that are getting that response might feel, oh, this is a little excessive. Well, if they can look at it through a lens that, well, maybe there's something behind the picture, or maybe right. there's something, you know, just kind of, and it diffuses, you know, you have to kind of put on that filter whenever you look at someone and they're reacting, they're in their car, like honking on their horn, and then get out of the way, you SOB, blah, 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 blah. And you're thinking, man, that person's a dirtbag. But, you know, what if they're on their way to the hospital and their child's in critical condition or something? So you have to kind of just look at things through a different lens. And if you can force that on yourself, it actually helps you kind of calm down. And things like that are hard, but, you know, I talk about it, but I'm not perfect at those things either. No one is. But, you know, what I tell my kids is, nothing worth doing is easy. And so, yeah, these things are hard, but that essentially means that it's worth doing.
Yeah. That's true. So, it's yeah. true. The hardest things sometimes are the ones that give the best reward and are the easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It's like my work. I work for the power company. I do gas work. I work on live gas lines. Everybody's like, oh, you make a lot of money and this and that. I says, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it and I wouldn't have a job. It's like you're working with dangerous stuff. It's like not that many people want to do it because it's on very high demand because it's, like I said, something very dangerous to do. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But it's not mm-hmm. easy. It's the same thing. It's just like, you know, you have the easy way out and the hard way out. The yeah. easy way out, it might not be the best reward. The hard way out is where you get the highest reward, but it's just hard, and a lot of people are going to go down the line of the easiest stuff just because it's easy. They don't want the work. They don't want the hassle of just, you know, like you're saying, of the picture, of trying to understand the backstory behind the person. What is, what? Maybe there's something there, or maybe the person isn't an a-hole. We don't know, but, you know, at least give it 2 seconds to try, 2 seconds to try to figure out, you know, what's the backstory.
Maybe that person is an a-hole, but, you know, hey, why do I care?
Exactly. I'm not an a-hole. Why would I have to? I don't know him. I don't care. Don't bother me. He's not coming my way. It's that kind of
thing. Not bothering me. He's not coming my way. Just bye-bye. Have a great time.
Let him go. Screw him. That's, you know.
Not my problem.
It's a phrase that I like. I sometimes like to use. Is not my, what is it? Not my circus, not my monkey, not my job, not my problem. It works on everything on a daily basis, and it's at the end of the day, it's true. Not my problem. Why would I have to worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
Although the whole bullying thing and the online stuff, it's something that everyone can do a little bit to try to fix it. It's not easy. That's the hard path. It's not easy to fix. It's something that's going to take a long time to do. And a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of, you know, a lot of time that you have to put into it. But if you really want to change it, you're going to do it, although it's hard, but you're going to do it with passion because it's something that you love.
Everybody has a part to play. There's not just one singular person carrying the weight of 7.5 billion people on their back. Mm-hmm. Everybody can play even the most minuscule part, but it still makes a difference in the grand scheme of just making it right.
Yep.
That is for sure.
You guys, this has been awesome, man. We could sit there and talk.
We could sit here and talk about this for like another 3 hours if we really wanted to.
Yeah. It's like I said, Nick knows that whole panel that I'm trying to do, this is something that I really feel is very important. But it's like we can have a conversation for days on this. Cause it's just, you could go so in depth in this and it just has so many other ramifications that, it's just, forget it. You can do an encyclopedia just on this subject itself. I mean, it's the ramifications are countless. I mean, there's so much. It can go... the toxicity in the stupid game can affect your normal everyday life in such a way that you wouldn't even think it would. And then the ramifications through there just go everything. Your work life, your personal life, your social life, everything. It's just...
Yep.
But, I mean, I think that that's a conversation we can have on a different day, because we already had so much of a conversation on this.
Yep. A lot of information to digest.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I guarantee that everybody who's watching and who's listening are going to identify with, even if it's just a little part of the conversation or with the whole thing, or know somebody that's been through it. And, you know, it's something that's going to touch everybody in a way, guarantee. But Wes, once again, we appreciate having you here, man.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
It's the knowledge that people have, you know, you never know what you get. And in this case, you know, the knowledge that you have inside of this, especially working with schools like us at the Long Island Gaming League, identify ourselves so much with, you're on the same, you're on a whole different level of what we want to do. Like, what we want to do is where you are. And I think,
well, if I can help out, man, let me know. I'd love to help.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Be a resource. You guys got my info. Let's help each other out. That's what it's about.
Sure.
That's what I say. I mean, it's like it's we can learn so much from what you've done. I think everybody can learn. I mean, it's not an easy thing working with schools. And
yeah,
it's, you know, you have the kids that are gonna do the right thing, and they're gonna, you know, be there and listen, pay attention, and you're going to have the other ones that are coming and going to disrupt. And Nick can tell you for how it is. We have a lot of that, unfortunately, and it's just, you know, you have to...
Well, I want to say a lot. It's mainly one or two. It's mainly one individual, one student.
Okay, that was let's not go into that. But,
well, yeah, I'm just saying, it was yes. Just one instance.
Yeah, but it's like that. You know, you're going to have that in a group, and it's just, you know...
Yeah.
Because we've started, we still don't kind of know how to work around it, to still try to give the proper education to those that want to be there and want to learn. And from what I can see, and you already passed that phase and know how to diffuse those situations and know how to, you guys have a group, for Christ's sake. You know, it's you work with bigger names, so that for me says everything. I mean, we have a lot that we can learn from you. And I mean, me being also a father of kids that are in school, and seeing what you do for the schools, I can, although you're on a different state than us, and I wish it would be in our state, because I think we need that. Every state needs something like that. But I, you know, from a parent, I can say thank you for what you do for the school, what you do for the kids. It does do wonders, and it takes the kids out of possible bad situations that they can be, and, you know.
Yeah, we can, we can band together, and that's what it's going to take, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, I saw this video of, I couldn't believe it, you know, you got these videos on YouTube that you can see, it's crazy, and I saw these ants, you know, there's like these ants that all kind of, you know,
bound. Bridge?
Well, yeah, I saw the ones on the bridge, but there was like, they were carrying a hot dog, you know, like a whole hot dog. And there was like a trail of ants that were all like linked together, that were like, you know, created themselves like an engine big enough to poke this thing that was huge, you know. And so if we could band together, yes, and do, it's amazing what we could do, you know. But when you're out there all by yourself, you can't move a 2-ton, sure, or I say a 20-ton truck. But if you get enough people, you can move just about anything. So you know, let's just work together.
Sure. I can speak from us here at Long Island Game League. I guarantee we will be working with you. We appreciate what you bring to the table. It's just, even the knowledge itself is just, you know, it's insane, and we really appreciate having you here and, you know, taking the time to be with us and making a normal everyday conversation between three guys that like games become something, you know, something different from what we've normally had, because it's a total different, you know, subject that we do feel passionate about, and I really appreciate having you here.
Yeah, it's been an honor, man. We really appreciate you guys. Keep up the good work, and yeah, let's do it again sometime.
For sure. Nick, any last words?
Not really. I think everything's pretty much been said.
For sure. There you go, guys. It's another episode. You could call it like a special episode, being it's a little bit on the side of what we normally talk about. But yeah, we hope you guys liked what we did, what we spoke about here. If you have any questions or anything like that, hit us up. If you want to, you know, put any contact, any social media out there, you want everybody to know where they can find you.
Yeah, sure. I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me at, I think it's Wesley Bird, but you know, all of our Skulls stuff is at Skulls Gear. So whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, you know, everything at Skulls Gear with a Z, Skulls Gear. And yeah, you can ping me through those avenues. And I'm glad to help out anyone with, you know, helping get their school programs up and point them in the right direction. And there's tons of resources out there. Sometimes people just don't know where to go. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering, hey, I want to help my school get to a program, ping me on one of the socials, or, you know, and glad to help out.
That's perfect. Thanks, everybody, for coming around. Please stay safe out there, everybody. Please be careful. Watch out for each other. If you know somebody's going through a rough time, don't be afraid to help. Don't be afraid to say something. There's multiple ways, multiple people out there that just want to help. So, you know, don't be afraid to say something. We appreciate having you here. We appreciate you watching our content or listening to our content. Take it easy. Until next time, peace out.
Yep.